Well, this weekend, I hope we've all had a fresh appreciation for the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ who is our portion. Amen. He's our God-allotted portion. I just want to remind us of a few things, and that is, first of all, our Father has qualified us. Amen. Qualified us for a share of the allotted portion. This allotted portion is Christ Himself, the all-inclusive Christ, as our good land. And He's not only that, He's our good land. And as the good land, what is He? He's water brooks. He's springs. He's fountains. He's flowing forth in valleys and in mountains. You know, He just wants to be enjoyed by us. He loves to flow Himself to us as living water. And I hope we're all here not just thinking about it, but I hope we're all in the water.
Amen.
Hope we'd all be here enjoying this all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
Even as we come to this conclusion, we just would be open to Him.
Amen.
Lord, flow in me.
Amen.
Let's all say that. Lord, flow in me.
Amen.
Flow forth.
Lord, flow.
Amen. Again, flow forth.
Flow forth.
Amen. Lord, be the water.
Be the water.
Amen. We also saw a lot more, you know, concerning Christ. He really wants to have the first place in everything. He's first in the old creation. He's first in the new creation. And everything came into being through Him. It's for Him. It's unto Him. And we're those that just love Him.
Amen.
And going on a little bit, you know, this matter of Him being the reality of all the positive things. He's the body of all the shadows. You remember that? What's an example of a shadow? What's that? Yeah, our food, our drink. You know, did you enjoy the Lord this morning? Did you have breakfast? Did you have Christ? It was really a picture of Christ, right? What did you have for breakfast? What did you have, brother? Potatoes, okay. Hallelujah. Christ is our real potato.
Amen.
He's solid. Amen. Fills us up quickly. Anyway, this is our Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, He's the body of all the shadows. He's our new day, right? He's also what? Our rest. Are you all resting?
Amen.
Don't rest too much. Yeah, anyway, no. No, He's our real rest. In Him we have rest. If we don't have Him, there's just no rest. We're always in turmoil, right? And but we have Him.
Amen.
He's our Sabbath rest.
Amen.
And He's our what? Our monthly. He's our new moon.
Amen.
It's the light shining in the darkness.
Amen.
Hallelujah for another day. And He gets to be our new beginning.
Amen.
Don't you like to have a new beginning?
Yes.
What if we didn't have days and nights and days? And you had a big failure to begin with. Then your whole day of your one day of your life is a mess, you know, terrible. But the Lord gives us new beginnings.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm so glad He gives us new beginnings.
Amen.
And of course, we're clear. His mercy, His compassions—they're fresh every morning.
Amen.
He loves to give us a new beginning. Every time you wake up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for a new beginning.
Amen.
Forget about yesterday. We're going on.
Amen.
We want to pursue the Lord in a fresh way today.
Amen.
And of course, He's our annual feast. He just wants to be a feast to us. Oh, I love that. When we come together to feast, the variety of all the things, the burritos and the fajitas and the this and that. Anyway, praise the Lord. He's our feast.
Amen.
And then not only that, we saw something of in Colossians, this matter of the new man. The Lord created something new in the universe. He created in Himself of two peoples, one new man. And that new man is where right now? He's in your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We got brought into the new man when we were, when in time, it's when you believe. But in reality, it happened on the cross. He created in Himself of two, one new man.
Amen.
And this man is now, it's being renewed unto full knowledge.
Right.
Hallelujah, we're all in the process.
Yeah.
Again, remember, we're all what? We're caterpillars, yes. Becoming what? Butterflies. Look at your neighbor again. Just look at him. What'd you see? Did you see a caterpillar or a butterfly? Amen, butterfly. I hope you see one another in the process. We're all on the way. We all are a mess. We're all cut out of the same hunk of cheese. We're just a mess. And then, so praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're putting on, and we're being renewed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How about some renewing here?
Amen.
Off. On. Renewing. Amen. It's a good reminder for one another, right? Hallelujah. Then last night, what did we cover? Hallelujah. Wasn't this awesome? There's water in the Word.
Amen.
I just love it. And this water will take us all the way to the coming of the Lord. To be one with Him in His dealing with the things on this earth. Well, in the meantime, saints, I have a real burden this morning regarding this message. Because this is something that will affect all our lives. I hope it would touch our lives. It'd be our experience. If you look at the title, it says what? The all-inclusive shepherding needed to present every man full-grown in Christ. And of course, we all know, who's the real shepherd? Who's the good shepherd? Christ. Hallelujah. Christ. He's the good shepherd. Praise the Lord. He's the top shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. You know, and we need Him. Are you a shepherd? In ourselves, we just can't do anything. We just make a mess of everything. I've made many mistakes trying to shepherd. But we're learning. We're learning. We're learning to get to the Lord, to touch this one who's the real shepherd. And this is a big thing. This is a great thing in the Lord's move today on the earth. He needs shepherds. And I hope we all would have some kind of an aspiration within. Lord, make me a shepherd.
Amen.
Let's all declare that right now. Lord, make me a shepherd. Open my eyes to shepherding. You know, we need to... Amen. I learned something when I was young. I had an experience when I first came into the church life. I'll just give a testimony. I was young, and I got married pretty quick when I came into the church life. And there was one person that got saved among us. He went to the University of Texas, and he got his first semester. He flunked out. He got all F's, and was working at a pizza parlor. And this brother, one of the brothers in Houston, was burdened for him because they went to school together in high school. They went to a Catholic school, and they were burdened. He was burdened his friend would get saved. And so he went. He preached the gospel. He got saved and brought him to the meetings in Houston. He didn't have anything going on there anyway. So he came to Houston, and he began to enjoy the Lord. He got saved, baptized, and began to enjoy the Lord. And I just began to enter into a little care for this one with a few of us just taking care of him. And he was a mess. He was gruffy and tangled hair and smoking, but he was enjoying the Lord. And after a while, you know what? He just disappeared. Off he went. And that was so discouraging, you know. But some of us got together and we would just pray. We prayed for this brother. Lord, bring him back. Bring him back. Well, guess what? The Lord brought him back. And then he began to enjoy the church life some more. And I know some of the brothers, they wanted him to work, you know. And they took him, do something. So they took him with them on this concrete crew. And of course, you know, that's tough work. But he would sit out under the trees. The brothers are trying to get him to come help him with the concrete. He said, oh, no, that's okay, brothers. He's there. I'm enjoying these life studies. Smoking and enjoying his life studies in the shade of the trees, you know. And next thing you know, he left again. Boom, he's gone. Again, we just got together. We prayed for him. Praise the Lord, we prayed. Remember that. We what? Prayed for him. And guess what? He came back again. Hallelujah. Then my wife and I and a few others, we were burdened for some college students at LSU. And so through fellowship with the brothers, we went to LSU. We moved there. We dropped our jobs, and off we went to take care of these ones on the campus. Well, we decided to take these two couples, and we brought three students with us. And one of them was this one brother, another brother, and a sister. And so he has a new start at LSU. He got into school at LSU after that in Austin. I don't know what happened. But he started school. And we were enjoying the Lord some, and especially taking care of the new ones. But then one night he came to me and he said, Ken, I'm leaving. This time it's for good. I'm going back to the Red Dog Saloon for the rest of my life. And I just was, no. Inwardly, I'm screaming. And this is late at night, and we just took a walk, and I was praying and speaking at the same time. You know, how do we, you know, what do I do? You know, Lord, this brother. And he agreed to go with me to a conference that weekend. And we went to a conference. And he got in the van with us. It was a conference in Dallas. So we went from Louisiana up to Dallas, Texas. And even on the way there, we got one block from the meeting hall where we were meeting. We went over. We were in a van, and he's sitting in the very back. And we went over a railroad tracks, you know, kind of a bump like this. And he's sitting in the back, and he's got this big thing of coffee. What do you think would happen? And you can see the meeting hall. Here we are. We've been driving for 8 hours. And he gets there and boom, coffee. Ah, I know. I knew I shouldn't have come and all this. Coffee all over him. But you know what? He got to that conference and he never looked back. He had a turn. He began to pursue the Lord and enjoy the Lord and jumped fully into the church life. And eventually he started coming over to our house to, we had a, I don't know if I should get in this part, but anyway, we had a couple sisters living with us in corporate living there across from the campus. And this was in the University of Houston. We moved back to Houston. Anyway, so he'd come over and he'd sit there around the table and he would tell this sister in front of all the other saints. He said, Elaine Strain. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say this. Anyway, so-and-so. Cut that off. He said, so-and-so, I'm going to marry you someday. She said, what? She said, don't talk like that, so-and-so, you know. And then he would say it again. He'd come back. He said, you just wait, so-and-so. You just wait. He said, I'm going to go to Rice University. I'm going to marry you. And she said, you're crazy. Anyway, guess what happened? He got his undergraduate degree. He got his master's degree. He went to Rice University. He got his PhD, and he married this sister. And eventually, this brother was so amazing. My point is, you just don't know when you're shepherding someone where they'll be down the road. Eventually, Brother Lee said, he was involved with Brother Lee in the recovery version. And Brother Lee said, there was no one so useful to me than this brother in the recovery version, the new version of the New Testament and the whole Bible. And after he went to be with the Lord, this brother carried on the Old Testament. So we have the whole, you know, he knew Hebrew and Greek. And, you know, he's a scholar, you know. Anyway, who would have ever thought that little messed up kid who had an attitude all the time. He's just like that kind of a brother. Anyway, I just love it. It was a real lesson to me in the early days. You just can't count anybody out. We have to pray and we have to care for the sheep. You don't know what the Lord would do with them. You know, some of the ones that were in our home, some of them now, you know, they're in Russia and they're still there. They've been there for years, you know, giving themselves to the Lord. They were just a kid with a bunch of little hippies that came into our living room, you know, in the early days. Anyway, it's amazing. So anyway, I just say that to tell you, shepherding is awesome. Amen. Just think about it. Don't you want to have some experiences like that? On one hand, it doesn't seem that great at the time. You know, there's something going on there that's not so easy. But it's so worthwhile. May the Lord raise up all of us to be one with this shepherd in shepherding the sheep. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. To shepherd people, we need to follow Paul's pattern of being a faithful minister according to the stewardship of God, to present every man full grown in Christ. Okay, now we need to turn to the Bible. We need to look at these verses in Colossians. I want to make a few comments. I think this it's actually just tremendous. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through 29. And let me just read to you and just follow along if you would. And as far as the outline, you guys, I'm not going to go through all of this. I may touch the beginning of it, and I'm not going to go through all of it. So if you want to take notes, that would be good, some little things that I may bring up. Because in the second half, it's up to you guys, right? We want you all to, in the second session, we'd love for you to overflow, and so just be prepared. Okay, Colossians 1:24. Paul said, "I now rejoice in my sufferings." Hallelujah, I rejoice in my sufferings.
Amen.
Come on, do you really rejoice in your sufferings? Paul did, and he's a pattern. You know what we said? He's a pattern of a faithful minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf and fill up on my part. Let's all say that, on my part. That which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. And just take note here, lacking of the afflictions of Christ. Do you realize he said Christ's afflictions were lacking? Isn't that interesting? How could Christ's afflictions be lacking? But he considered, listen, Christ is short in his afflictions because he hasn't finished what he's after. We have to finish what he began. Now, we don't have a part in redemption, obviously. He took care of redemption. He produced the church. And then now he has a desire to build up the church. You remember in Matthew 16, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Well, where is Christ today? On one hand, he's in the heavens as a heavenly minister, and he's ministering a supply to us for us to cooperate with him for what? The building up of the church. You know, so he's supplying us. He's with us. On one hand, he's with us inwardly. On the other hand, he's in his heavenly ministry. He's no longer in his earthly ministry. But he needs some that would fill up what's lacking on our part. Do you realize, what about you, on your part? Tell your neighbor, on your part. We all have a part. We all can have a part in this, in the building up. So he said this, "On my part, that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh," what? "For his body, which is the church."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the body.
Amen.
So I'll say hallelujah for the body.
Hallelujah for the body.
Hallelujah for the church.
Hallelujah.
It's worth suffering for. It's worth having some afflictions on our part. Okay? Then in verse 25, he says this concerning the church. He says, "Of which I became a minister." What is a minister? What's a minister?
A minister is somebody who preaches to a congregation.
Okay, that's a common thought. That's a normal thought of what you see in Christianity. But according to the Bible, Paul has a certain view of being a minister. And what is that? What is Paul as a minister, what is he? Yeah, he's a dispenser. And you'll see, look at this. "Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God." The stewardship. He had a stewardship. What is a steward? Very good. Gifts, food. They used to have stewardesses on airlines. Now I think they're called an attendant or flight attendant. And in the old days, they actually used to give food on the planes, right? Y'all don't even know about that. You weren't even born, probably. But they would have food to everybody. I mean, it didn't matter if you're a coach or what. You would get some food. And they were there, whatever you need, food, food. The stewardesses were doing that. And if you're a male, you were a steward. So Paul had a stewardship. And his stewardship was to what? Minister Christ. Christ into his believers for their growth, their progress. And let me finish this. Stewardship of God, which was given to me for you. You remember that little phrase? To me for you. Let's all say that. To me
for you.
Now this time, point at your neighbor. To me
for you.
In other words, the Lord, we have to remember God's heart's desire, saints. Please remember this. God has an intention in this universe. And his intention is to dispense, to give us himself in Christ as a spirit with all his riches, that he could have a corporate expression of himself on the earth.
Amen.
He wants something built up, beautiful. It's a shame to the enemy, and it expresses him to the uttermost. Right? Well, to carry this out, he needs a lot of shepherds, a lot of stewards, a lot of ministers. And Paul realized, I'm a steward. I'm getting food from the Lord. I have a ministry of getting the riches of Christ. You remember, Ben said, the unsearchable riches of Christ? That's what he announced as the gospel. That's what he presented to everyone, unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, this is his intention, to fill us with those riches. But how do we get all the riches? One hand we can, well, I can read the Bible, but most of the time we read and we can't understand it. We need one another. That's why in Ephesians it says that we may be able to apprehend what? With all the saints, all the dimensions of Christ. You know, the height and the depth and the length and the height and the breadth, the whatever it is. Anyway, the dimensions of Christ. It's the dimensions of the universe. He's inexhaustible. But we apprehend those with the saints. So, as we enjoy Christ, as we hold him as the head, what happens? We get a supply. When you enjoy the Lord in the morning, what do you get? Supply. Now, is that to you? Is it really just for you? It's to me for you. Yes. Again, to me for you. And there's a sister verse to this. I'd like to mention it. It's in Ephesians 3. And I'll just read it to you. Ephesians 3. Somewhere in here. Yeah, thank you. In verse 2 of Ephesians 3, it says this. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. So again, he had a stewardship of what? Of the grace of God. Again, given to me for you. So we all need to be those that are enjoying grace, enjoying the riches of Christ every morning, right? Every day, enjoying all the riches of Christ. But that stewardship, that enjoyment of all the grace, it's not just for us, it's for others, right? And I hope I'm not belaboring this too much. Then let's go on. Let's skip to verse 27. Let me just read this. To whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28. Whom we announce. This is a key verse here for this message. Whom we announce. Hallelujah. We announce.
Amen.
This Christ in you, the hope of glory. We announce, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man what?
Glorious.
Hallelujah. Full grown in Christ. Are we satisfied with ones to receive the Lord, get filled up, and then just leave them as babies? No, we want them to be full grown in Christ. And that requires labor. If you're a mama, you know, I know there's Julia somewhere, you know, Alan's wife. Isn't it Julia?
Julie.
Yeah. She's got a baby. It's not easy. The mamas, you think about it. When they have a baby, it's a suffering. There's an affliction. You know, I know. We had five of them. And my wife, I just thought she was going to go crazy sometimes. She's pregnant, but she's got a baby. And then she's pregnant, and she's got two babies. And she's pregnant, and got three babies. I mean, you're talking about 1,000 diapers, thousands of diapers changing, you know. And she didn't do it by herself. I helped a lot, you know, changing diapers again and again. But she did most of it. Who woke up in the middle of the night to feed the baby that's crying every, you know, all the time? Sometimes it's me because she'd act like she was asleep, you know. But but mostly, you know, she was the one suffering, you know. It was hard. It's hard. Not easy. Well, are we willing to fill up on our part what is lacking? On behalf of the body, the church? Well, this is Paul is a steward and he's an example for us. He's a pattern for us. And what is our desire? That we would shepherd others to be full grown in Christ. Now then, let's read point A. The proper shepherding is our cooperation with God in caring for people, and is a progressive, continual, and gradual process according to Christ's operation in power. I didn't finish the last verse. I forgot verse 29. It says this, for which also I labor. In other words, this matter of presenting one's full grown in Christ. For this, what does he say? For which also I labor, struggling according to what? My own power. What does it say? Struggling according to his operation, which operates in me in power. Amen. So you realize with Paul, he had an operation going on. There was a pum, 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 an energizing, a supplying to labor, to struggle on behalf of others. And I just want to say this, saints, the most happy people are people that are taking care of others. Amen. You want to be happy? Take care of somebody else. Someone who's always wondering, you know, I'm not getting any care. Nobody's paying attention to me. I don't have much sympathy. Sorry. I should. But basically, I realize if you take care of someone else, eventually you get cared for. You know, there's that verse that says, he who waters will be watered. Hallelujah. You water some others, what happens? You get watered. You take care of someone else, you get cared for. You know, it's kind of like right now, you know, I have five daughters. I took care of them. We took care of them all our lives. Guess what I get now? I get a lot of care. All those daughters just love me. They call me. They text me. They this and that. You know, no worries. I've got a lot of care. And anyway, you just take care of others. They'll end up, anyway, I'll share some more here in a minute. Okay. So, proper shepherding is a cooperation to care for people in a progressive, continual, gradual process. And it's according to his operation. And then B, could we read this? The goal of our shepherding is to minister Christ to men that they might become perfect, full in quality, and complete, full in quantity, by maturing Christ unto full growth. Okay, and then Roman numeral 2, let's read this all together strongly, okay? To present every man full grown in Christ requires us to render an all-inclusive, tender care and to pay attention to the inward condition of their heart, the progress of their growth in life, and their participation in services. And then let's go on and just go ahead and read 1, and I think I'll stop there. I mean, A, in cherishing and nourishing people, we must first be concerned about the condition of their hearts and ask the Lord for the grace to comfort all the distracted. Yeah, in Colossians 2, there's a verse that really was impressive to me, and that's 2:2. It says that their hearts may be comforted. He's talking about the Colossians, that their hearts would be comforted, they being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, unto the full knowledge of the mystery of God Christ. And the point here is, their hearts need to be comforted, and they need to be knit together in love. And when the hearts are comforted, then there's a result. It's unto. You see a little unto? There's a result. The riches, it's unto what? The riches of full assurance of understanding. Unto full knowledge. It's the same thing. In other words, to help, to take care of the new ones, the first thing that has to be taken care of is a kind of a cherishing. A cherishing. A caring for their heart. A comfort of their heart. Don't expect to come up with someone and their heart is cold. They're not interested, and you start giving, but they're with you, and you start giving them some teaching. Teach, teach, teach. You know, points, points, points. Here's a verse, here's a verse, here's a verse. Listen, that's not how to shepherd people. How do you shepherd people? The first thing you have to do is warm up their hearts. Consider their heart. How to warm them up. You know, one of my daughters, unlike all the rest, this one daughter, she just refused to eat. She was kind of stubborn. And she'd be in the high chair and you'd go to give her some food. She would move her head around. And we just, come on now, you've got to eat. You know, you try to force her to eat. And the more you forced, the stronger she got. And I was with her one time and I realized, okay, I got to do something here. All right, and she liked to run around in her little bathing suit and swim in the little swimming pool. And so I thought, okay. I said, I got some food. You're the baby. Come on up. just stand right here. Just turn around. Hallelujah. And, of course, what was happening the first before all this? And I'd get it all over her face. You know, I'd have to wipe it off. Okay, but this time it was, okay. Boing. I'm on the diving board. Boing, boing. I want to go into the tummy pool. Into the tummy pool. Ah. It worked. It really worked. The tummy pool. It warmed her up. Then I just kept on tummy pool. Till the tummy pool was full. This is kind of the same way with ones we're taking care of. We have to take care of their hearts. You know, sometimes the other thing we have to remember as ones taking care of others, and we all should be taking care of others. I just would encourage you, like I'm so happy, like Alan Lee, he's taking care of junior high. There's a brother from Pleasanton, wherever he is. He's there involved with not junior high, young people. And the same thing with this other brother. Get somebody to take care of. And it may not even be just the younger ones. It may be the ones, care for some ones around you, the ones you live with, your friends. Pick up a burden to care for others. Well, you know, in taking care of others, it's kind of like being a doctor. You know, we're really a doctor. And we're trying to provide the right medicine to ones. What do they need? What do you need? Well, sometimes we just think, well, they come to us and, well, I enjoyed this morning. And so you just give them boom, 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 boom. And basically it may be they have a gaping wound on their arm. They got cut and they're bleeding. And instead what we do, we go up there and we put some eardrops in their ears. You know, I'm being crazy here, but in other words, we don't take care of what their real need is. You know, doctors, they have to listen. They have to look. They have to consider, what does this one need? You know, it's funny with doctors, you know, when they start to begin doctoring, what do? They set up a practice. I think that's interesting. They're practicing. as doctors, you go there and they're practicing on you. Isn't that what they call it? They said, we have any doctors here? I know we have some that are going to be doctors. Anyway, they just set up a practice. They're practicing. And you know what? They're practicing all their life. They better, because things are changing. They better be practicing. They better be learning. But unfortunately, they're practicing on us. Well, the ones we take care of, we just need to practice. Just realize we're practicing. We're not sure, but we need to listen. I would say, I'm going to give you a few points here. Some points to me that have been really helpful in the way of caring for young ones. The first thing is we need to be a good listener. Sometimes we're just good talkers, and we just talk, and then we just give, whatever we think, without even listening. We don't know what their situation is. If someone comes into the office and they're talking about, I've got stomach pains, and you're there giving them an aspirin, you know, it doesn't work. You know, there may be something serious there. Well, the first thing is listen. In our listening, we find out where they are. And in listening, I would take it, the second point is, we need to get into their interest. Get into their interest. Does that make sense? Sometimes, you know, we want them to get into our interest, right? We want them to get into the Lord. Well, that's wonderful. But the first thing in our care for others is to what? Get into their interest. You know, for example, what if they're interested in movies? What do you do? No, you just ask them. Just go ask them. What's something you saw recently that you really liked? That's a shepherding. That's a shepherding. It's a care. It's a taking interest in what they're interested in. You may... Listen, I remember... I better not say who. Anyway, this is a young person. He's about a ninth grader. He moved to Texas. And I'd start listening to him talk about a movie he saw. And it would go on forever because it's like he memorized everything. It's like, how do you remember all this stuff? But I didn't say that. But I said, well, yeah, well, then what happened? Da, 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 da. Oh, and then da 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 da. And then, wow, that's scary. Yeah, then da 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 da. And just going and listen, you hear the whole storyline of the whole movie. And but you know what? That's a shepherding care for them. That's getting into their interest. Because the next point is important. You know what happens once you take interest? They respect you. They respect you. And then the next point is they open to you. Okay? I've just seen it again and again. Get into their interest. They respect you. They open to you. And then give them a little Christ. Give them something, but not too much. Don't back up the dump truck. They're open. Genesis to Revelation, God's economy and everything, you know. And the problem is, once you have their respect, they're sitting there, yeah, smiling. And they're lost as can be. You think they're loving it, they're getting it. Oh, yeah. No, they don't get it. Just give them a little bit. This goes back to this matter of everything living responds to care. If you take care of others and you're interested in them, you can learn a lot. You know, nowadays it's really hard. You know, with a lot of them, they're interested in games. I've seen some brothers, they're really good at taking interest in, I don't know, some conqueror, this and that, and they know all of this and that, and they can listen to that. I can't listen to that anymore. I don't understand all of that. But anyway, you guys can, right? Just take interest. Anyway, I'll just go back to that one brother. He would repeat every word in the movie. Eventually, he's a coworker now. Hallelujah! He's serving the Lord full time. Amazing. I want to give some more examples like that. I'd like to just share, and this is not. You know, on one hand, I don't like to talk about things like this, but I just want to make a point. There was one brother. He was in the church life in Texas. And eventually he got involved in high school. you know, I had some care for him. But next thing you know, he's getting involved in things, and things begin to change. He was a football player, and this and that. He was a great quarterback, but he got involved with some wrong people, some neighbors. And his parents didn't even realize what was going on. But eventually, he's in drugs. And eventually, it got so bad, you know, the parents just kicked him out of the house. You know, anyway, it was just a big disruption in the house and so forth. It was kind of the tough love theory. So off he is, and he's living with a bunch of scoundrels and drug addicts and this and that, and life is not too good. But in the meantime, I cared for him, and I just would not give up. And I remember one time just going to see him, and he was just in a different mindset. It's a strange realm they're in when they're like that. But I saw him, I went to a place where he was working, and we went outside. And even then, he was still like testing me. You know, he's walking along and just kind of arrogant and, oh, look at that girl, isn't she, da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, why is he talking to me like that? But I just said, Lord Jesus. And then eventually I realized, well, I would call him. I remember calling over to the house where he lived. Someone else would pick up, and I'd say, can I speak with so-and-so? And he'd turn around, hey, so-and-so, telephone. And the guy would say, who is it? And I could hear him say that, who is it? And then he said, it's Ken Walker. Tell him I'm not here. And I'm listening to that. That's tough. You know, oh, he doesn't care. No. But I realized eventually I kept on, Lord Jesus. And then I realized they're not getting good food there. I've got to get him to eat. So sure enough, I got through to him, and he was so glad to go out to a restaurant and have good food, because there they were just living on beans and I don't know what all. But anyway, even at that time, it was somewhat tough. But it was really good, because he thought, well, he'd accommodate me. He couldn't help but respond to the care. So he realized Ken probably wants to share something about Christ. So he wanted to direct the conversation. So he brought me to demons and things and Revelation and, you know, what's going to happen, all that. Hallelujah. He just got me going. But it wasn't, I didn't answer all his questions, but I brought him to Christ.
Amen.
Woke him up a little bit. And then it wasn't what he expected. But then, again, I just began to continue to have some time with him. Eventually, this young man, praise the Lord, he had a real, real turn to the Lord. Went to the full-time training. He's now working, doing well in the church life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Things can change. It's just a matter of what? Are we willing to suffer a little bit? You know, Paul... Let me go back to this matter of afflictions and suffering. I was telling Ben, there's this one brother. I've spent a lot of time in the emergency room. Have you? You might have with your kids, but listen, some of the young people, you need to have a heart to care for people, and it's an inconvenience. We were having a high school conference, and I was with, I hope this doesn't happen to you, Alan, this next time you're in a high school conference, but we were playing some games after the meeting in our cabin area, and this one big brother, you know, he does weights, and he was like little Hulk Hogan guy, you know, so tough, strong, heavy, and this one little young brother was there, just kind of sitting on the floor after all the games, just sitting up against the wall. This young brother just came and just fell on him, and he broke his leg. You know, this is terrible. And off we go, you know, get him into the car, get him to the emergency room, spend all night there. This happened again and again with lots of different ones. Listen, there's one brother, he loved dirt biking. And he broke almost every bone in his body. He was always in the emergency room. I mean, he had metal plates underneath his skin here on his arm. And, you know, just incredible. He just couldn't give it up. But... anyway, another thing that I had a lot of time with the young people in Irving, I spent a lot of time there, for almost 20 years before I went to Arlington. Basically, my history is I was in Houston, then I went in the year 1981. I've been around a long time. Anyway, in 1980, we moved to Irving to take care of the building of the training center there, the meeting hall and everything. And about 80 of us moved from Houston to Irving. And then at that time, I began to take care of the young people in the church life. And, you know, one of the things I spent a lot of time with is, you know, they like to play football or, you know, or basketball. And so I was out there with them all the time, you know, playing basketball, football. And in football, we play tackle, you know. And I remember one time, I made a great tackle. There was a guy on the varsity high school football team. He made a move, and I was right there, and I brought him down. I was so happy, and I went back to the little huddle. But my finger, this end of the finger was sitting on top of the knuckle. It was a Z, you know. And I went back and I said, "Brothers, what do I do?" And they were just like, and so I just didn't know what to do, so I just went, it went pop, it popped back in. And I went like this, and they were just like, "Oh!" But within 5 minutes, it was about this big around, you know. I couldn't move it at all. It was over after that. One time I was playing basketball, sometimes I would make a move to kind of unsettle them a little bit by, if they went up, I would go down, and kind of shooting like this, they're kind of afraid I'll hit them in the midsection or something like that. I'll go down. Well, one time, I thought a guy was going to shoot. He faked me, and so I went down, but instead, he's going up. So I'm going down, his knee comes up, and I broke my nose in three places. This is on behalf of the brothers. It's called shepherding. It's okay. Really. One time I had hurt my knee, and I had a big brace on my knee, and I couldn't play football. So I went out to watch them play in football. This is on a Sunday afternoon. And it had been raining, and they loved to play in the mud and so forth. Well, so I thought, well, I'll just come and take pictures, you know. So I had my camera, and I'm filming, you know, it's video. And I'm on the side, and I still had my clothes on from the morning meeting, you know. Just I had the brace on, and I just thought, well, I'll just come take pictures. And next thing you know, they called the play purposefully towards me, and so I'm here. And both teams are coming right at me. And the whole intention was to tackle me. And down I went with my camera into the mud and everything. It's called love for the brothers. It's awesome. One time, this is, I can tell you the name that they laugh at it. Ben Phillips and David Kangas. These are a couple of the ones I spent a lot of time with. And I was at Ben's house. And we had some kind of a gathering or something, and everybody was gone. I'm getting ready to leave, and I go outside, and my car is gone. And what in the world? And it used to be here, and the brothers, and I have the key. It was locked. And the brothers were just like, "Oh, Ken, what happened? You sure your wife didn't come pick it up?" I said, "No, she didn't." And I can't believe this. And I was just like, you know, when someone steals something, you have this deep, gnawing feeling in your stomach. It's like, it's almost upset. And I'm just telling them, "Oh, this is terrible." And then I get on the phone to call the police. And then they got, "No, no, 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 call it, no, no, no." "Don't call the police." And then they confessed, yeah, they had somehow slipped in through the back of, it's a hatchback or something, they slipped into the back and got in there, and they moved it down the road, they pushed it down the road little by little, down the curve, around the bend, And so you got to say, you can't see it because it kind of goes down and around and the car's gone. You know what I mean? But they had worked it down around there. Anyway, again, hallelujah for the love of the brothers. Shepherding, saints. Listen, it's worthwhile. It really is. You know, I wanted to share another story that was pretty awesome too. This is more related to our care for them. Maybe two little stories. This is when I was one thing, and this to me is a kind of a tip for you guys. When you're taking care of others, and young, especially younger ones, it's not like you have to do that much or spend that much time. It's a matter of the quality of the time. And I would often take these guys, you know, to get maybe ice cream or something somewhere, and in the evening, and I would be there with a couple of them, and I didn't do anything, hardly anything, except buy the ice cream. And they would, or it might have been hamburgers or something, but one of them would start talking, especially when you have two. You got to have, mostly you need to have two, not just one. I mean, one-on-one, you need those kind of times, but with two, eventually one starts talking and the other one starts talking. And they're talking together, and they're bouncing off each other, and all I'm doing is say, uh-huh. Well, then what happened? And yeah, well, what did you think about that? Oh, blah, 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 blah. You know, and you just a little comment here, a little comment there, and in the end, when they go home, they think that's the greatest time on earth. You know, when they're young, they think that's awesome. But what did you do? You didn't have to do anything hardly. Just sit there, just take interest. You know what I mean? Just take interest, and eventually they learned. They learned. Because they cared about me, there was a respect, I knew I could give them something divine. Hallelujah. So they're going back and forth and says, oh, brothers, let me just take 1 minute to just share something I enjoyed. And they go, okay. And then and I share a little something sweet, something rich of the word. And they just, okay. And then they just start talking, chattering, you know. You're just setting up an opportunity for them to be together, you know what I mean? And so it's a cherishing, a warming up. But you don't want to just cherish. You know, some have gotten into the problem of just cherishing and not nourishing. Our heart has to always be, I'm not here to be a hero to them or to be someone that they look up to as a hero. And when I'm not, when we're not. What our desire is in our heart is, I want to give them Christ. I want to dispense the riches of Christ little by little into all these ones. And so this is our desire. And one time I remember one of these brothers, this was Ben Phillips, in fact, I can tell you his name. He asked me, he came to me, he said, Ken, there's a guy in school that he really is considering committing suicide. And he came to me and says, I don't know what to do. And I said, are you sure? He said, no, he really is serious about committing suicide. Serious. He said, what do I tell him? Well, I considered, and there was something I had enjoyed, and I gave him one verse. I said, Ben, just share this verse with him. I said, okay, and he wrote it down. Then I didn't hear much about that. This is kind of towards the end of his high school time. And then several years later, a sister gave a testimony in the meeting in Irving. And she said at a grocery store, she's the teller. And a guy came up and had a shirt on, MacArthur High School. And she went to MacArthur. And she said, oh, you went to MacArthur. Have you seen any of your buddies from way back then, any of your friends? And this guy said to her, he said this, he said, there was nobody at MacArthur that was real. There was only one person, Ben Phillips. And he pulled out his wallet, and he opened it up, and he gave her the verse. He said, he saved my life. And showed him that verse. Anyway, isn't that amazing? But it started with what? To share a verse with somebody. Then it went to him, it went to Ben, it went to that guy, it went back to the teller, and then she shared it in the whole church, it went back all the way around to the whole church. You know what I mean? You know. The word is powerful, right? It's awesome. It's unbelievable. Okay, I want to share some verses. I want to go to some verses. And I hope you would take these down and pay attention to them. The first one is Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And this was a real help to me. Because sometimes when you're with others and you're shepherding, it's good to go back and remember this. Because when you're with some of the young ones, or even your friends, or even the ones in the corporate living, you may want to just clobber them. We've got a situation right now in our corporate living. There's one brother, everybody wants to kill him. You know, I'm serious. He just taunts everybody. And he's a tough one to deal with. But look at Romans 2:4. Do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that God's kindness is leading you to repentance? Did you get it? What leads them to repentance? In this verse, kindness, forbearance, long suffering. I'm sorry, I had to tell those brothers in corporate living, you've got to suffer a lot. You know, you need forbearance. You need kindness. And then I took him to 1 Corinthians 13, and you need love. And then also told him, number one, the first thing you have to pray for him. Anyway, in all these, you know, obviously we have to pray. We have to maintain a burden for them. Otherwise, we'll be through. But prayer is first. We need to be burdened for others. And even, I would say this, if you don't have a feeling, if you don't have a burden for others, Lord, give me a burden. Burden me. And you know what? Ben mentioned, in, you know, concerning the Lord when he said, come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is what? Light. Listen, when we go to the Lord, when we're in the Lord and we're enjoying the Lord, you know what? It's light. Because we're not the ones taking care of them. Paul said, I labored more than they all. But then what did he say? Yet not I, but the grace. Amen. The grace labored. That's the supply. That's the energy. And so we have to stay in the grace. Amen. And so kindness. I remember one brother. I went up to him. No, I heard what was going on, and I got to take care of this guy. He's messing. This is a big problem. And so I went. I knew he was over at some home meeting. I thought, okay, well, I need to go visit them anyway. I'll just go see him. So I drove over there. And on the way over there, I started praying. I started praying, and I got filled up with the Lord. And you know what I did when I got there? It's crazy. All I could do is love him. I sat down next to him, and I wanted to clobber him before, but now just all I could do is just love him and then just talk to him. And you realize he's got this and that going on. Anyway, it surprised me what came out of me, because when you touch the Lord and you're full of the Lord's grace, we're not there to judge. We're not there judging, or adjusting. What works is what? Here in this verse, it's kindness, forbearance, long-suffering. God's kindness leads you to repentance. You need to experience the kindness of God to care for others. It works. And I would also take you to 1 Corinthians 13. And I just want to refer to a couple of verses here. Please look at this. Everybody knows this as the love chapter, right? And it goes like this. Love suffers long. That's the first line. Love suffers long. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave unbecomingly. It does not seek its own things. It's not provoked. If you're loving someone, and they even, you know, like that one brother, he tried to provoke me. Oh, look at that cool chick. Da, 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 you know. It didn't provoke me. I was just loving him. Okay? It's not provoked and does not take account of evil. You know what that means? Love means you don't keep tabs on what, you don't keep a a list, a check card. Yep, he did this, this, and that. She did this, this, this. And you keep a record of it. No, love just forgets. Love forgives. And actually, here's what love does. In verse 7, I like this. Love covers all things. When someone does something wrong, let me ask you, what do you do? If you see someone do something and you just realize this is terrible, what's the first thing you do? You go tell somebody? No. Love covers all things. And you know what? It believes all things. When that person, listen, those young ones are the ones you're taking care of, and these are ones on the campus. You're praying for them, and they don't believe. But you know what? You believe. Love just believes. Love just believes all things. Love what? It hopes. It's believing, and it's hoping for that one. And what else? And it's enduring. It's waiting for the opportunity, the right time. Love endures all things. And then look at this. Love never falls away. Love never fails. Love never fades away. Love works. Hallelujah. Smother them with love. Love works. Amen. It doesn't fail. Let's all say that. Love never fails. Again, love never fails. So you have kindness, you have love. And then, okay, real quick. I gotta wrap this up. Lord Jesus, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 24. And these are some verses, saints, I hope you remember. This, to me, is special because it's something that it should wake us up. This is Matthew 24, verse 45. And this is regarding the Lord's coming back. And there's this statement. The Lord said this. Who then, you there, Matthew 24, 45. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave? If you have it, why don't you read it? Who then is a faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Blessed, and next one. Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Hallelujah. Blessed. Do you like that? Blessed. Let's all say that. Blessed.
Blessed.
Blessed is that man when the Lord comes, finds us doing what?
Food.
Giving what?
Food.
When the Lord comes back, who will be blessed? Will he find us doing something? What will he find you doing? Well, in this verse, blessed is he. When he comes, he'll find you what? So doing. Doing what? Giving food. Let's all say that. Giving food.
Giving food.
Oh, hallelujah for food.
Amen.
You know, what do you want to do all the days of your life?
Give food.
Amen. Give food.
Amen.
I mean, why are some of them rebellious? Some of them are naughty. Listen, love the naughty ones. I love the naughty ones. Just give them food.
Amen.
And do this till the Lord comes back. Do this till the Lord comes back. Don't let anything stop you from... Listen, this is the most joyful life. It's a life of shepherding others, taking care of others, mainly giving them food. You're looking for opportunities to give them food. Food works. He who has the food wins. Remember that. He who has food wins. Joseph had all the food in the barns in Egypt. You know, his brothers thought they had done away with him. But next thing you know, where are they coming? They're coming to Egypt. They're coming to get food because they were in a drought or a, what do you call it? A famine. Who won? The brothers or Joseph? Why? He's got the food. Saints, we have the food. We need to be those giving food at the proper time, appointed times. Okay, then... let's go to Luke 10. Actually, there's just so many, I can't go on. Well, okay, we've got to. Luke 10. I just want you to get a few of these little portions that are so awesome. Luke 10, 29. Okay, in this portion, you have this matter. You've all heard the story of the Good Samaritan. And there was a lawyer who came to the Lord, and they were talking. Eventually, the Lord began to give a story of a man. This is in verse 30. And maybe you could follow along. There's a certain man who comes down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who, having both stripped him and beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. Here's this guy. He's in Jerusalem. Jerusalem stands for, it's a city of peace. But where did he go? He left Jerusalem and went what? What? Down to Jericho. What does Jericho mean? City of curse. Sometimes we all do that. We leave the peace and we go somewhere we're not supposed to, right? Down to a city of curse. Well, what happens? He went that way, he got beat up, he got robbed, and he got left for half dead. Half dead. And then you have, the Lord points out, okay, there's these ones that come along, the priest comes by, the priest doesn't want to deal with it. The Levite, someone who teaches the Bible, he comes by, he doesn't do anything. But then there's a Samaritan who comes by. And Samaritans were despised by the Jews because they were a mix. And they didn't like to have anything to do with the Samaritans. But the Lord said a Samaritan came by, a certain Samaritan, referring to himself. And he came by. What did he do? In verse 34, and he came to him. First of all, he was, look at the end of 33. He saw him, and what happened? Say it again loudly. He was moved with compassion. This is what we need. We need to be moved with compassion for so many. And he was moved with compassion. He came to him. He bound up his wounds, poured oil and wine on them. He placed them on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn. And he took care of him. And then on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Let's all say that. Take care of him. So he brought him to the church life. And he said, take care of him. And whatever you spend in addition to this, when I return, this is referring to when the Lord comes back. When I return, what will I do? I will repay you. I love that. I will repay you. Take care of him. And what happens? I will repay you. Oh, Lord, let's all say that. I will repay you. And I don't need to get into all the instances, but you realize the Lord loves the sinners. He's a friend of sinners. You know, Zacchaeus. In Luke 19, you have Zacchaeus. I love that story. Because you have Zacchaeus, it talks about him, and he was a tax collector. And you know what the tax collectors were in that day? They were kind of the gangsters of that day. You know, they would take the money, but they added something to it for their own good, and they were the rich ones. They had the power, you know, to take from everybody. And it says there in Luke 19 that Zacchaeus, he was not just... It says he was the chief tax collector. He was the don, right? He's the mob boss, you know, chief tax collector. And then what does it say? And he was rich. Yeah, he's been raking it in. And they hated him. And eventually, the Lord said, I've got to stay at your house today. And he was so excited. He got to, you know, he had a feast, I guess. And then... And they, of course, they got really bothered. What is he doing eating with sinners? I mean, these are the mobsters. What is he doing? Well, the Lord said, you know, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. I'm after the sinners. You're so righteous. Listen, I want sinners. He went for the tax collector. He went for Zacchaeus. And next thing you know, Zacchaeus, what happened? Somehow he got revelation. I don't know what the Lord did with him. I doubt if the Lord at the dinner table with Zacchaeus said, "Oh, Zacchaeus, you're a terrible man. Do you realize what you've done? You've stolen from the poor. Da 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 da. You've taken. Look at you. What do you think he did?" I don't really know. I just have the sense he was there. Zacchaeus, you got a pretty good business going, you know, or You seem to be doing well for yourself, you know. Just a conversation. I bet that shined on him. He got so burned by the Lord. But the Lord was just taking interest, just talking to him. I don't know what happened. You know, I really don't know. All I know is that the end result was Zacchaeus, I'll give everything back and I'll give more and I'll give to the poor. And he was a changed man. He got saved. Anyway, I just want us all to have a heart for people. Shepherd people to their full grown. Don't give up on others. And maybe I'll just close with this, you know, because it's very significant. And that's at the end of the Gospel of John, the Lord was there with Peter and the disciples. And he had, you know, they couldn't catch any fish. They came to the shore and he told them, come and have breakfast. He had food already ready for them. He had cooked the fish and so forth. And what did he tell Peter? He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And of course, Peter said, yeah, you do. I love you. He said, feed my lambs. And then he asked him again, do you love me? And Peter, yes. And the Lord said, well, shepherd my sheep. That's not enough. He asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? Then what? Feed my sheep. What do you think is on the Lord's heart? The sheep. What does he expect Peter to do? Take care of the sheep. Feed the sheep. Shepherd the sheep. Feed them. Give them food. These were the parting words to Peter. And this is a parting words I'd say to us. This is a big thing. Do you love the Lord? Let me ask you, do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's all say, I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
Feed the lambs. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Shepherd the sheep.
Amen.
Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, feed the sheep.
Amen.
Feed, give food, take care of them. Anyway, fill up that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ on our part. Anyway, this is kind of my longing for all of us. We would be those that give food, take care, take interest. Food, 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 all the days of our life. Even if no one notices, if no one cares, don't look for attention. You know, don't think, you know, everybody has to appreciate what I'm doing. No, do it secretly. Do it any way you can. In your heart, all I want is, I just want to give food. I want to take care of the sheep. Why? Because I love the Lord. Listen, the more you love the Lord, the life in you, what does it do? It leads you to the sheep. It produces something in you of a care for others. When you enjoy the Lord in the morning, don't you run? You want to run, tell somebody? Don't you like being around the brothers and sisters after that? What if you don't enjoy the Lord? What if you're defrauded of your prize? Do you run to the campus and look for the brothers? No, you see a brother. Ooh. You hide from everybody, right? But if you love the Lord, do what? Feed my lambs.
Amen.
Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. Okay, I think I'll leave it with that. Let's all shout hallelujah.
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 Amen. Better stop.